Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think Bill Clinton was our first black president?
Well, I think Bill Clinton did have an enormous affinity with the African American community, and still does. And I think that's well earned. You know, like John, one of the things that I'm always inspired by. No, I'm serious about it. I'm always inspired by young men and women who grew up in the South when segregation was still taking place, when you know, the transformations that are still incomplete but at least have begun had not yet begun. And to see that transformation in their own lives, I think that is powerful, and it is hopeful, because what it indicates is that people can change, and each successive generation can you know, create a different vision of how, you know, we have to treat each other. And I think Bill Clinton embodies that. I think he deserves credit for that. Now, I haven't, you know, I have to say that, you know, I would have to, you know, investigate more, you know, Bill's dancing abilities and, you know, some of this other stuff before I accurately judged whether he was in fact a brother. But
let's Senator Clinton weigh
sure
in on that.
I'm sure that can be arranged.
Beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funky lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in the cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
AfroNerd, and welcome to yet another edition of AfroNerd Radio. Today is January 24th, 2008, and I'm back. I took a couple of days rest, or I should say maybe a week, week and a half, to recollect my thoughts or collect my thoughts and to give you the best show that I can give you. And the applause. Sorry for the delays, folks. There appears to be some problems with Blog Talk. Unfortunately, these things do happen. We are talking about technology in the 21st century, and unfortunately, everything isn't fail-safe or foolproof. So it is what it is. Folks, again, this is our week in review program. Feel free to call up and give us your thoughts. The number is 646-915-9620. Again, it's 646-915-9620. And we take all credit, as I always say, we take all credit here, and you can reach us by IM or email at afronerdradio@yahoo.com. Again, that's afronerdradio@yahoo.com. And actually, we have two chat rooms. One of them is not working. Again, going out to the technical difficulties that I referenced earlier. But one of them is working. That's the one with the Luke Cage, the comic book character, the Luke Cage motif at afronerdradio.com. Again, it's afronerdradio.com. So feel free to put your thoughts on that as well, and I will read them live on air. Okay, this time around, as I said, we are talking about the week in review, and we had a pretty eventful week. I want to talk about a couple of things. One, the death of Heath Ledger. Obviously, I'm going to talk about him because, listen, this site, we talk about all kinds of things, whether it's about politics, fantasy films, comic books, you name it, we have it. And Heath Ledger was or is slated to play the Joker in The Dark Knight, the second installment of the latest movie franchise of Batman. So it's very tragic that this young man, he's not even 30 years of age. I believe he died at 28. So I want to talk about that and also talk about a little bit of the Hollywood scene or Hollyweird scene. And, of course, I'm going to be very respectful of the dead because I don't believe in just dumping on someone when they die tragically, but we have to talk about the dead sometimes so we can remain living, so we can keep on living. So I think that I want to talk about something. There's some things that bother me about Hollywood and about this young man's death. Also, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't get into Obama versus Hillary, the slugfest. The Joe Frazier versus Muhammad Ali fight for the political world. That was something Monday, I believe, that took place. And I have some clips of that also to get into that. And also, I wanted to talk about MLK Day, the day that actually Dr. King's birthday is on the 15th, but I believe it was celebrated on the 20th. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Dr. King and what he meant to me. And anything else that comes to mind, of course, again, you folks that are listening, you can always call up and give us your thoughts, your impressions of whatever has happened for this week. Again, the call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, it's 646-915-9620. Heath Ledger, 28 years old, Australian actor, noted, I guess, his most notable performance was in Brokeback Mountain. I will confess I have not seen the movie. I'll be honest with you, I cannot bear to see that film. It seems just a little bit, call me homophobic, whatever you like. But it just seems like something that's just, I don't have the interest in it. And it's just plain old disturbing. And again, it goes back to Hollywood or Hollyweird. Well, it seems very difficult for someone who is a straight cat. I'm going to be, again, complete transparency here. It seems very weird for me for someone who is a straight person. Being able to play a gay character with that much authenticity. Now, I'm not going to be a complete curmudgeon and just give the impression that, well, you can't play what you can't play. I think if you're a real actor, you can play whatever you want to play. But I think when it comes to the point of being graphic, that's the deal. Someone is going to have to explain that to me. And we've heard stories of Hollywood actors and their secret lives and, this just the weirdness, a lifestyle that I would assume our audience and myself, we really do not have a clue of what it is like. You're getting paid millions of dollars to do what you've always wanted to do, And, you know, just for the regular working Joes, for those who are of the, I guess, you know, I don't really like to make distinctions between people, but for whatever reason, the media has positioned actors and actresses and athletes, celebrities to be almost godlike. You know, if I guess that goes back to how someone can give their children to Michael Jackson, because if Michael Jackson were to come to your living room, you would freak out. You would say, "Wow, this, you know, you just couldn't believe that this is another human being of equal value to you and anybody else." But because of the way he was positioned in the media and the superstardom and all the fluff and accolades and pomp and circumstances, you don't think of him as a regular person anymore. Television, music, radio, performances, concert performances, they somehow elevate a normal human being or just a human being into something otherworldly. You know, and I think that's the reason why we pay attention to these folks so much. I think it's unnatural for someone to be viewed through a fishbowl. I think it's unnatural for a human being to be viewed as if he were a fish through a fishbowl. And I think that creates a type of madness. Again, this is just my opinion. But going back, not to go off on tangents, but trust me, I'm getting there. Getting back to Heath Ledger, again, you have a young man that for all intents and purposes has the world by the balls, as they say. I would not doubt that he was making a seven-figure salary. I believe that the apartment that he was staying in was something like $26,000 a month. I think he was renting it for $26,000 a month. You got to have money to afford that kind of lifestyle. And then to await a masseuse for that to happen, you know, it just seems it's almost unfathomable to understand how someone in that position. No one knows for sure if it was a suicide. Right now, it appears that it could either be that or it might have been an accidental overdose. But again, he had a family. I think there was some kind of strife between him, his wife, and himself, and that kind of thing. But you would think that you would want to live for your children and live for the possibility if you think that you know, your wife is. I mean, listen. Once you are a family man, it's very hard to break that bond, even after divorce. You know, these people. You look at Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Those two were married multiple times to each other. Again, I don't think this Mr. Ledger was really aware of what he had and taking chances with your life. Even if it was accidental, how much high do you have to get? How much higher do you need to be able to live life? I mean, they say money isn't everything, but money is something. The people risk a lot for money. People will kill you for money. So money does mean something. And to have the ability to make that kind of salary, and again, his career was on the upswing. This guy was nominated for an award for the Brokeback Mountain role. And you know, once that happens, and again, you listen. I don't like to go there as far as racial situations. And you know, folks know me, and they know that I've been critiqued for it by some of our listeners and readers from AfroNerd.com. Again, the blog that ties everything together is AfroNerd.com. I don't like to racialize everything, but listen, this guy had white skin color privilege. If you're going to throw that in there, I don't like to go there all the time, but we have to keep it honest and keep it correct, full transparency. He had white skin color privilege. You're a multimillionaire. I believe he had a bevy of beauties in between his marital situation. What the hell? You know, I'm confused on that. So I guess my main thing in this whole diatribe is we need to really start pulling the cards. And that's one thing that I try to do at Afro Nerd Radio and on my blog, is try to be completely honest and try to pull the cards of some of these people, whether they are politicians, musicians, athletes, anyone of note. You know, this is ridiculous. And we have a tendency to worship people like this, and our children seem to be put into the position to worship rappers and that kind of thing, and hip hop artists and just people. And when you really dissect their lives, folks that have opportunities that the average person just does not necessarily get, and they constantly defecate on opportunities. It makes you scratch your head and wonder, why do we always put these people in a position to either represent us or to have the answers. I mean, heck, I believe a couple of years ago, they were thinking about putting Brad Pitt and his then-wife, Aniston, Jennifer Aniston, to be some kind of ambassadors to the Middle East. I mean, so these are living mannequins. Living mannequins. And yet, someone decides to put these celebrities in positions to be world leaders almost. And it's just unconscionable. So, again, going back to Ledger, I don't want to go off too off tangent, but the bottom line is, when will we stop putting these folks in the position to represent us? I'm not even talking about race, just culturally, just, I mean, as far as pop culture, what have you. You would just be amazed at the questions these folks are asked sometimes and the positions that they're put into. But at the end of the day, we have to start putting these people, making them more accountable and really analyzing their lives and telling our children that you do not really want to be this person. We don't know this person. And I was looking at something a few days ago, and again, I'm going to, I'm not going to just dump on people. I have to go to the other side also. A few days ago, there was something in, I believe, the New York Post, but I wouldn't doubt it. I think it was in many, many newspapers. This is just a real incidental thing. It's almost a non-story, but when have you not seen the media, or print media especially, make a non-story into a story? I believe it was Lindsay Lohan had an affliction of static cling. What do I mean by static cling? Simply put, listen, I'm not going to give any kind of special accolades to Lindsay Lohan or Britney Spears or Paris Hilton, any of these sick women. But in Lohan's case, they caught her and just like walking around. I mean, I think she might have just parked her car or something. It was like a no issue thing. She's walking around, and I think her skirt was hiked up accidentally. She had gotten up from her car, and her left cheek was exposed. It was, she still had panties on or what have you. But, it was like a full color spread just to see this woman's, the crack of her behind. I'm like, what kind of world are we in where this makes news? It just seems incredible to me that we are becoming as sick as a society as the folks that we are commenting on, because that is not an issue. You can't even be a human being. These people can't even be a human beings anymore. Because can you imagine that every moment of your life is documented? It just, if you look back to the stars of yesteryear, whether it was Cary Grant or Clark Gable or any of these individuals, you didn't necessarily see their daily goings on. You just didn't see that. I believe at that point in the career, there was some kind, there was societal pressures. They just had a certain decorum back then where they had studio-sanctioned photographs. I think they had a studio photographer. You didn't really have the paparazzi at that point. So, who cares? I mean, you would see, someone like Cary Grant in a smoking jacket or something, or whatever. It would be some prefabricated situation. And I think that was fine. I think that, if anything, there was a healthy mystery about people. But now, we don't want to leave any stone unturned. I remember seeing something. I mean, listen, I'm a man. Trust me, I am. And I saw something. I think some buddy of mine forwarded something in an email of Janet Jackson. I'm pretty sure everyone knows about this. There was a Janet Jackson thing where she was sunbathing nude. Well, listen, it is what it is. But I'm saying to myself, and this was something, it's literally, they have equipment that can see, I don't know, perhaps half a mile away. I mean, an astronomical amount of distance can be garnered with this new photography equipment. And you could tell that this person was filming it like through a slit in a fence. So in a slit in the fence, this woman she thought she had an expected degree of privacy. And yet we know what's going on. We have to know what this person is doing. That just seems crazy. Again, folks, the call-out number, 646-915-9620. Again, it's 646-915-9620, talking about the late Heath Ledger. Let me give you some more specificity on this matter again, and then we'll go into Obama versus Hillary. This young man died, I believe it was Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, it was a few days ago. Tragedy. This is from MTV News, I'm reading it, MTV.com. Heath Ledger's, Tuesday. I was right, a couple of days ago. It says here, Heath Ledger's last hours, new details emerge. Funeral reportedly set for Friday in New York. More details have emerged regarding the death of Heath Ledger in a New York apartment on Tuesday, providing insight into the 28-year-old Australian actor's final hours. According to the Associated Press, police estimate Ledger's time of death between 1 p.m. and 2:45 p.m. Ledger's housekeeper, Teresa Solomon, said she arrived at the apartment around 12:30 p.m. and approximately 30 minutes later entered the actor's bedroom to change a light bulb and found him lying in a bed face down with a sheet pulled up to his shoulders. Solomon told police she heard Ledger snoring and left the room thinking nothing was wrong. A massage therapist, Diana Wallison, arrived just before 3 p.m. for a scheduled appointment, the AP reports. When Ledger failed to answer his bedroom door, Wallison said she called his cell phone. There was no answer. The masseuse told police she then entered Ledger's bedroom and began setting up her massage table. Then, according to the wire service, Wallison attempted to stir the actor from his sleep, but he was unresponsive. She told police that Ledger's body was cold to the touch. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. I mean, it is what it is. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming out about Mary-Kate Olsen. Maybe she might have been his paramour or friend. There was reports that she might have actually owned the building. These people are extremely wealthy. This girl's not even 22 years old. And again, there's reports that she might have been the owner of the building that he was staying in. And again, there were pills reportedly around. He might have been suffering from pneumonia. And again, I'm reporting this essentially because of my problems with pop culture and as Living Color saying a few years ago, the cult of personality, that kind of thing. So it just seems like we're just losing it as a culture, as a people. So my condolences to the Ledger family. I think, again, it's a very tragic event, but I think hopefully it's a lesson to be learned. And I hope that one day we can start to center these things and try to really understand, like, you know, these people, we don't know them. We do not know them, and yet we think that we know them. Matter of fact, you know, my understanding is that I think that day a few hundred people went out to this guy's building, his apartment, and just stood around. I mean, you know, I believe that even family members are coming in, and strangers are just hanging around. And I mean, you can't even allow these people, the family members, to grieve properly and try to get a grasp of the situation, because everyone thinks they know the guy. I mean, it's just, I don't know, folks. It's a tragedy, but what can you do? All right, folks, listen, I'm going to take a quick musical break, and then we're going to get into the Obama Hillary affair. What a slugfest. Okay, so actually, you know what? I'm going to play something that I was able to pick up from BET, believe it or not. I have my gripes with BET, but they had a performance a few months ago with Stevie Wonder. So let's see if we can get that up. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulties, but this is a Stevie Wonder song regarding a tribute to Diana Ross. So let's see if we can listen to that.
You're listening to Afro Nerd Radio, giving you the unattractive truth every Thursday, 9 p.m., and Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The phone lines are open. You know what to do. Call in at 646-915-9620. And now, back to your host, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Hey folks, what's up? D-Bert, as the message says, D-Bert, a.k.a. Afro Nerd. That was Stevie Wonder performing at BET's, the recent BET Awards a few months ago, and that was a tribute to Diana Ross, and I thought it was an astounding performance. One of the highlights of that show, I'm no fan of BET, I'll let you know right away, but I think it's Minstrel Show or Minstrel Central, but I guess one of my gripes is that you have a performer like Stevie Wonder, you had Erykah Badu, I think at that point, Chaka Khan was on there. You have all the stellar talent, and yet then you have to juxtapose it with the minstrels that come on there, and it's like, you know, it's hard to have real talent next to a high school talent show or high school talent acts, that kind of thing, and some of the debauchery and the coonery, that kind of thing that goes on at the BET Awards. But I really loved that performance. I wanted to kind of share it with our audience. Again, folks, the number is 646-915-9620. It appears I am having some technical difficulties. I'll try to reboot the system as we're talking, and hopefully I'll be able to tell if someone is coming in. Right now I can't even take any calls presently because there seems to be some problems with the system. So, folks, for the callers, just bear with me. I'm going to try to reboot this thing as I'm talking to you. But if not, you know, these things happen. These things do happen. I wanted to get into the Obama-Hillary debate that transpired on Monday. As you guys probably know, I don't know who would not know at this point, that South Carolina has a primary coming up on Saturday. And it's an interesting phenomenon at this point because, again, we have the first serious, obviously there have been other African Americans that have vied for the presidency, but this person appears to be making history because he seems to be a serious contender, or what one would say is a mainstream contender. Someone like Al Sharpton, or I should say Reverend Al Sharpton, or Reverend Jackson, those individuals would not be considered mainstream people. Some may use mainstream as a euphemism for white. I wouldn't say that. But, you know, that's my opinion. But, again, he seems to be the real deal. So, at this point, Saturday is the primary, and they had the debates Monday. And it was a slugfest. You had a lot of bickering going back and forth. I guess there was some composure that was lost between these two individuals. I mean, I should say three, but let's say two. Of course, John Edwards was there also. Let's not forget John Edwards. But in this case, again, you had some bickering going back and forth. And I feel that it's historical. It's kind of great, you know. It's great entertainment, but the real issues are being lost in the mix. And I tell you one thing that I didn't really get a chance to write about in the blog. Again, the blog for the listeners is afronerd.com. Again, it's afronerd.com. I really didn't get a chance to get into this, but you know, there's this whole thing about race. You know, everyone is avoiding the elephant in the room. It's, you know, it's race, and the Clinton camp has been accused of racism, and Obama's playing the race card, or better yet, Clinton is playing the race card, and this kind of thing. And you know, for the life of me, I do not see any indication, realistically, of any kind of issues that have risen to the point of being a racial one. And what am I talking about? There's been a few statements that have come out of the Clinton camp allegedly that has been construed as being racial or racially tinged, and I don't get it. One thing was a recent situation with President Clinton, former President Clinton, Bill Clinton, and he was at some rally, and he was talking about Obama's record as far as being against the Iraq war. So he simply said that it really isn't accurate. And again, this is paraphrasing what President Clinton is saying. But he said he is saying that Obama is not necessarily being completely candid about him always being against the war. He says in one instance he voted no against the war, but in another instance he voted yes against the war. I mean, yes for funding for the war, and that I think that on one occasion that it was on his website about this speech where he talks about being against the war, and then the following year it's off the website about that. So he's basically trying to say that it's expedient. It worked out this way as far as Obama being against the war, that it really wasn't him being this stalwart warrior against the war, the stalwart person against the war. So they used the word of that, you know, that it's a fantasy. I quote, it's a fantasy that he was against, that he was always against the war. Somehow, the media picked this up and said, and implied or intimated that Clinton was saying that Obama's candidacy was a fantasy. Now, you see how this, it's just not racial. Folks, it's just not racial. And this is what disturbs me about the media. And this is one thing that I love about being a blogger and having this avenue to be able to speak to people and give my opinion, is that for the first time, the American public really does have an opportunity to flesh out these situations, to analyze them, to employ critical analysis, to actually say what really happened. Because if we rely on the media as it is right now, and with this technology, unfortunately, is making it where it's just about the soundbite now. We cannot get the courtesy of completion. And that's why I think many people are very fearful of bloggers, because bloggers really have become an alternative media source. And I think that there's some really pleasing number out there, some pleasing statistic, I should say, that states that a high degree of individuals are relying on blogs now for their news. That for the most part, a lot of people are turning away from conventional entertainment and media and are sitting in front of their laptops now. This is a reality. I think maybe 20 to 30% of Americans now are admitting that they're spending more time in front of their laptops and their PCs, their iPhones, that kind of thing, instead of the boob tube. So now we do have an opportunity to flesh these ideas out. Another thing that was said, and this one was by Senator Clinton, Hillary. She said something to the effect that, well, I believe it started out from Obama making comments about the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s, how Dr. King and so many of these leaders were instrumental in getting the Civil Rights Act passed, the Voting Rights Act passed. Without their efforts, these things would not have come to fruition. And then Hillary, in response to that, or as a rebuttal to Obama's comment, had said, well, that may be true, but it took a president to sign it. So I don't see how that can be construed as a racial situation, but thanks to the media and trying to sell newspapers and trying to gain viewership, we're literally at the point where they are creating these things now. They're making things up. They're using innuendo to get you, to goad you into falsehood, into fallacies. She said something I think was factually correct, that you did need a president to sign it into law. So she was just trying to say that if she were to become a president, she would be able to basically put the stamp of approval on some of the things that grassroots leadership is trying to employ. That's what I gathered from it. And again, I'm not trying to – listen, I'm a conservative. And it's so funny, conservatives are just laying in wait and watching this massacre right now, these lies that are being put out there by the Clinton camp. And I hope that Obama is wise enough, because let's face it, Clinton is a very capable politician. We're talking about literally a machine. These people know how to do it. They know how to get into office. What makes it interesting, though, and I said this, I think I might have said this on earlier occasions, that this is a unique situation because Clinton has heavily relied on the African American community as their base, their center base. Now, how do you profess to be able to maintain or to keep this base, but at the same time you have another African American, an African American of note that is you know, a well heeled African American that's slowly coming into the consciousness of a Black America, who is beloved by African Americans, because listen, this brother looks like he may have the ability to actually do what no other person of color has been able to do. Or he's getting close. So how do you keep your base without offending them? Because this is politics, and politics are known to be dirty. You have to get in the mud, as they say, or sling mud. It's the nature of the beast. So these things are going on, and you see that it's really a tightrope that these people are walking, and this is going back to Clinton again, and trying to not, for lack of a better word, piss off the African-American community with really not being on Obama so much. So it's an interesting thing. Listen, folks, in talking about this slugfest, I have some clips. Go figure. So you know what? And I've labeled the clips kind of in a comical way. One I have is labeled as Hillary uppercut, because Hillary, again, this was a real slugfest. Hillary gave Obama a uppercut, and then my Obama rebuttal clip is Obama kidney punch, so he was able to recoup, you know, do the rope-a-dope, and then slug back. So let's listen to the debate in question, and afterward we'll talk about it. Here's Hillary with her uppercut.
You know, this, I think, is one of the things that's happened during the course of this campaign, that there's a set of assertions made by Senator Clinton as well as her husband that are not factually accurate. I think that part of what the people are looking for right now is somebody who's going to solve problems and not resort to the same typical politics that we've seen in Washington. That is something that I hear all across the country. When Senator Clinton said, or President Clinton says, that I wasn't opposed to the war from the start, or says it's a fairy tale that I opposed the war, that is simply not true. When Senator Clinton or President Clinton asserts that I said that the Republicans had better economic policies since 1980, that is not the case. Now, the viewers aren't concerned with this kind of back and forth. What they're concerned about is who's actually going to help them get health care, how are they going to get their kids going to college, and that's the kind of campaign I've tried to run. I think that's the kind of campaign we should all try to run.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but I do think that your record and what you say does matter. And when it comes to a lot of the issues that are important in this race, it is sometimes difficult to understand what Senator Obama has said, because as soon as he is confronted on it, he says that's not what he meant. The facts are that he has said in the last week that he really liked the ideas of the Republicans over the last 10 to 15 years. And we can give you the exact quote. Now, I personally think they had ideas, but they were bad ideas. They were bad ideas for America. They were ideas like privatizing Social Security, like moving back from a balanced budget and a surplus to deficit and debt. And with respect to putting forth how one would pay for all of the programs that we're proposing in this campaign, I will be more than happy, Barack, to get the information, because we have searched for it. You have a lot of money that you want to put into foreign aid, a very worthy program. There is no evidence from your website, from your speeches, as to how you would pay for it. Now, why is this important? It's important because I think elections are about the future. But how do you determine what will happen in the future? Well, you have to look to the record. You have to look to what we say in campaigns and what we have done during our careers. And I want to be just very explicit about this. We are not, neither my campaign nor anyone associated with it, are in any way saying you did not oppose the war in Iraq. You did. You gave a great speech in 2002 opposing the war in Iraq. That was not what the point of our criticism was. It was after having given that speech, by the next year, the speech was off your website. By the next year, you were telling reporters that you agreed with President Bush in his conduct of the war. And by the next year, when you were in the Senate, you were voting to fund the war time after time after time.
Right.
So it was more about the distinction between words and action. And I
All
think
right.
that is a fair
All
assessment
right.
for
Thank
voters
you, Senator.
To make.
Senator,
Okay. What can I say? Let's do it again. That was a mighty blow. Mighty blow. Hillary's not to be screwed with. Let's do it again. Mighty blow. Mighty blow. I mean, you know, she got it. Just hit it one more time. You know, you say what you want to say, but Hillary's not. She's the real deal when it comes down to being able to fight. These guys can get into the, you know, or I should say, Billary. Bill and Hillary Clinton. These two know how to do it. So, listen, I have to give props to Obama because he is a well-heeled, very well-educated African-American person. Not that that's a rarity. Again, not that that's a rarity. But, you know, Clintons have a lot of tricks. You know, she was able to pour out some tears a few weeks ago, and she was able to take New Hampshire, and there was a belief that, really, just as in this case, in South Carolina, Obama allegedly, now this is, we're talking about, I think, maybe a 50 or 60% African-American voting base in South Carolina. He is slated to take the state. And really, he has to, because right now we're talking about 2-1. You know, so she took Nevada and she took New Hampshire and he has Iowa. So, you know, let's see what happens with South Carolina. And then thereafter, we're talking about Super Tuesday, and that's where we get into the 20-some-odd bigger states. And we'll see what happens from that point there. But that was a little rough pimp slap that she gave Obama. It is what it is. Again, folks, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Now, in all fairness, let's get to Obama's rope-a-dope. Obama's nobody, you know, he's nobody to play around with either. So I have to give propers, as they say, to this young person, this young man, and doing what he had to do to respond to that. But, you know, it is what it is. So let's listen to Obama's rebuttal.
Respond, then the Senator Edwards is going to come here as well.
But
go ahead and respond, and then I want to get back to this issue that we're talking about, fiscal responsibility.
Well,
go ahead.
Let's talk about it. Hillary, I will be happy to provide you with the information about all the spending that we do. Now, let's talk about Ronald Reagan. What you just repeated here today is patent.
Hillary, I did not say anything about Ronald Reagan. You said two things. You talked about admiring Ronald Reagan, and you talked about the ideas of the Republicans. I didn't talk about Ronald Reagan.
We just have the tape. You just said that I complimented the Republican ideas. That is not true. What I said, and I will provide you with a quote. What I said is that Ronald Reagan was a transformative political figure because he was able to get Democrats to vote against their economic interests, to form a majority, to push through their agenda, an agenda that I objected to, because while I was working on those streets, watching those folks see their jobs shipped overseas, you were a corporate lawyer sitting on the board of Walmart. I was fighting these fights. So I want to be clear. What I said had nothing to do with their policies. I spent a lifetime fighting against Ronald Reagan's policies. But what I did say is that we have to be thinking in the same transformative way about our democratic agenda. We've got to appeal to independents and Republicans in order to build a working majority to move an agenda forward. That is what I said. Now, you can dispute that, but let me finish. Hillary, you went on for 2 minutes. Let me finish. The irony of this is that you provided much more fulsome praise of Ronald Reagan in a book by Tom Brokaw that's being published right now. As did Bill Clinton in the past. So these are the kinds of political games that we are accustomed to.
Let's wrap up and then I'm going to come to you.
I just want to clarify the record.
Wait a second, Senator Edwards, hold on. There has been a specific charge leveled against Hillary Clinton, so she can respond, then I'll bring in Senator Edwards.
I just want to be sure.
We got a long time to go. You'll have a good opportunity.
We're just getting warmed up. Now, I just want to be clear about this. In an editorial board with the Reno newspaper, you said two different things because I have read the transcript. Mm-hmm. You talked about Ronald Reagan being a transformative political leader. I did not mention his name.
Your husband did.
Well, I'm here. He's not.
Okay, well,
and
I can't tell who I'm running against.
I think we both have very passionate and committed spouses who stand up for us, and I'm proud of that. But you also talked about the Republicans having ideas over the last 10 to 15 years.
I didn't say they were good ones.
Well, you can read the context of it.
Well,
it certainly came across.
I didn't say they were good ones.
Well, it certainly came across in the way that it was presented, as though the Republicans had been standing up against the conventional wisdom with their ideas. I'm just reacting to the fact, yes, they did have ideas, and they were bad ideas. Bad for America. And I was fighting against those ideas when you were practicing law and representing your contributor, Resco, in his slum landlord business in inner city Chicago.
Hold on one second. Senator Edwards has been remarkably patient during this exchange, and I want him. I don't know if you want to get involved in this, Senator Edwards.
Damn. Yeah, but let it be said that the policies aren't dirty. Damn. Oh man, folks, I don't know. You have to admit that this is probably, we're seeing history where, if anything, and this is going into Dr. King's dream, Dr. King's message with whatever you may say, the fact that you have a woman and an African-American male vying for the presidency in 2008 is something to see. So, I'm not so sure where I will go with this as far as who I will support, but it's something to see. Listen, looks like we have a caller here. Let's see what's going on. Caller, welcome to Afternoon Radio. Tell us who you are, and again, welcome.
Good evening, D-Bert. How's everything tonight?
Not too bad.
Hey, this is Brian from Brentwood. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. I just wanted to chime in as far as this topic that you're talking about. You know, I wanted to basically state that it seems to me it's a two-person race as far as the Democrat Party. I mean, Edwards is... he's in third place in a lot of these polls and what have you. So it's basically between Hillary and Barack. And this one, the South Carolina, is very, very important, extremely important for Barack to come through. And as a black man, as I am, you know, I live in New York. Hillary is our senator. And I'm just basically trying to find out what Ms. Clinton has done for us as African Americans. I mean, why is she so enamored by the black community? I'm just trying to figure that out.
Well, listen, your guess is as good as mine, and that's what I'm talking about. And listen, that's partially the reason why I am a conservative. Now, some would say, well, why would you do that? But my thing is this: black folk are going to have to become a little bit more sophisticated in how they, I mean, let's put it this way. If anything, presently, at least they are trying hard for our vote. Because at one time, up until recently, the black vote was just a given. You know, it's just assumed that, listen, no matter what you do, it's almost like being in a bad marriage. No matter how abusive a spouse may be, you're not going anywhere. And that's exactly what we're dealing with now with how I perceive black folk who have a tendency to vote in the 90 percentile range Democratic. You have to have people everywhere. There should be Democrats and Republicans vying for your vote. And you're right.
But Diva, do you think that eventually that's going to slant? Eventually? I mean, I would hope so. I mean, I am a Democrat and I consider myself a liberal, but I do see how detrimental that is to us as black people to continue to, like they say in some of the local shows, put your eggs all in one basket.
Exactly, exactly. You shouldn't have people, it shouldn't be where black people can be figured out, really.
Yeah.
Because everyone else has the ability, no one can make assumptions on any other culture that way or any other race. They have to vie for your vote. They have to work for it. And like you said earlier, we really can't find anything substantive that Senator Clinton or the Clintons have really done for African Americans. It's more of an aesthetic thing. I mean, let's be correct and fully transparent here. The real reason why I think some of this has gone down, Toni Morrison put that out there about him being the first black president. Quote-unquote homeboy was caught with marijuana. He smoked marijuana. Didn't own up to that. He was able to play the sax on Arsenio's show.
Mm-hmm.
He was adulterous. All the negative things that are attributable to black folk.
That makes them a black person.
Well, yeah, and black people are so, listen, we are a loving people.
Right.
We really do feel that if you're with us, you are us. So I understand that, or I understand on a soulful level, and that's a good thing in a way, but it's also a bad thing because we have to start calling people's cards. We just start pulling their cards, and it's shameful.
Where are we standing where we can make a white person an honorary black when there hasn't been anything of substance that they have done, really?
Listen, black folk are desperate for love. Trust me. We are desperate for confirmation and for validation.
I would love that to happen as far as a black person having love for our people. But it seems that we have to constantly always feel like we have to be accepted by white people, which is, I think, what the love fest about the Clintons are about anyway. It's
what?
About, oh, here's this white person who has embraced us because he went on Arsenio, he played the saxophone, and so as a result of that, we have to embrace him.
Well,
you know,
listen, and in all fairness, I want to be fully transparent. Clinton did his part as far as having visible black representation in his administration. That much I will agree with.
Yeah, I'll acknowledge that as well.
Okay, so he did some things, but as far as being, like, just heavily lauded, and you have to remember, you're a New Yorker like I'm a New Yorker.
Yes.
This, you know, listen, if we remember correctly, he's in Harlem now, okay,
yes.
His headquarters. But that was not his first choice.
No, it wasn't.
It was supposed to be, I believe, somewhere in Midtown.
Somewhere in Midtown. But I think Giuliani had a say in that.
But he was rejected.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of controversy. He was basically rejected, and it was like, well, there's open space because, you know, Harlem is going through a new renaissance, allegedly. Well, it is. I think it is going through a renaissance. So they said, well, listen, let's go down to your people. So it seemed befitting for him to be in Harlem. But see, that just added more to the whole mystique.
No, I agree with you, D.
And black folks really, I think black people really do believe Clinton is black. I hate to say it, but they do. The way we are reacting and the way that the media is positioning us, the conflicted views that we allegedly have. You would only have that if you really feel like this person is a brother.
Yeah, but it's funny. I mean, all you got to do is look at him to tell him that he's not.
Well, listen, get this. It gets deeper than that. Obama has a black name. I said this countless times. I'm a conservative, but I will give it up for the brother.
Right.
And I may even vote for the guy. I may even do that. I might vote conservative locally and nationally. I may give it to Obama. I will say that.
Okay.
But the main thing is here is that he has a black name, can go to an African village. I doubt that you or I can do that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oprah's working on that with the DNA testing. Maybe we could do it one day. Okay. He can go there, know his relatives, his black relatives in Africa. He has a well-heeled black wife, black children, goes to a black church, has stereotypical progressive black politics. Okay. And yet his authenticity as a black person is questioned, but Clinton's is not.
Exactly.
Explain that.
It's ridiculous. I wish I could explain it. I cannot explain it. I'm having difficulty trying to figure it out.
Now, when I bring these things up on my blog, I'm called the sellout. My blackness is questioned all the time. If I critique Sharpton and Jackson and Team Justice, as I call them, you can't do that. But black folk, white folk, everybody that allegedly represent black interests, sometimes they have to be called into question.
Absolutely,
we can't. We just can't give it up all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that you should call them each and every time. I mean, sometimes tough love is the best type of love, and every now and then, if you feel that Sharpton has to be challenged, I thought that Sharpton had to be challenged earlier regarding the Kelly Tillman situation.
Well, listen, no one made a big deal about this, but Sharpton had said in a New York Magazine article a few weeks ago that, and talking about Obama, that, well, not too many of us lived in Hawaii and went to Harvard as like a jab against Obama. I'm like,
Obama, yeah.
I'm like, what is this guy? This guy, again, the reason why Obama is Dr. King's dream. He's supposed to be who he is, exactly the way he is right now, because this is what the civil rights movement fought for. And now that he has arrived, we are defecating on this man.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's strange for me to side with a conservative, but...
Listen, the water's warm, bro. The water's warm. Dip your toe in. Dip your toe in every once in a while. Listen, I got a minute left. I got to close shop, but...
I just want to tell you about, you know, as a conservative, I know that you're a brother. Get Ann Coulter off your site.
You know what? You're right. I don't like Ann Coulter. I'm going to try to do that. That's Blog Talk's thing.
Right.
Okay. Now, they hit conservative. They put that on there, so I'm working
exactly.
on it. Trust me. Trust
God
me.
God bless you, brother.
You too. Thanks again. Okay, folks. Listen, we only got about a minute remaining. I wanted to get to Dr. King, and unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to get into that. I had a whole thing about Dr. King, so I will try to reconvene on Sunday. Okay, folks, listen. We're closing shop. This is D. Burt from Afro-Nerd Radio. Sunday at 8 p.m., our next show. Actually, something else to the audience. I'm going to try to get an interview. Actually, I'm in the works of getting an interview with Patrick Byrne, of the CEO of Overstock.com. I know you guys know of Overstock.com. And he made some comments that were construed, as I believe, misconstrued as being racist. And this is a top-flight professional person. So luckily, we may get him in the next week or so. So we're working on it. Again, Patrick Byrne, CEO of Overstock.com. He's coming up in the next week or so. Okay, folks, as always, it's been a pleasure. D. Burt signing off from Afro-Nerd Radio. Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.